Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Hey, Andy. These are kind of new circumstances today, so we're going to try and work through that. Just as the state's considering going green light on COVID, we're locking down and we're not in the same studio.
Things are a little different. I'm used to you guys being about 6 or 8 feet away, and now you're about 15 or 20 feet away. But welcome to the program today. Thanks for coming in. You guys look great through all that glass and everything.
Thanks. So jump in and make comments. Try and slow us down because we got a call.
I think you're too hard on yourself, Richard, but yeah, go ahead.
No, we got a call after the show last week that pointed that out. The lady had said, I've been listening for a number of weeks, and I can't ever get your phone number because you talk too fast. So
she also said we're not clear.
Yeah, she didn't realize that the name of the company was Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and so she'd been looking for us. So we're just going to go through that really quick.
Okay.
First, I speak too fast. I do. So I'm gonna make an effort to slow down today. But as far as the phone number goes, it's local area code 435. But the important part, of course, is the 477-6999. And if you visualize a phone keypad, the first three numbers are on the left-hand side,
477. Yeah.
And the other ones are on the right-hand side, 6999. That's middle, bottom, bottom. On the left, and then middle, bottom, bottom, bottom on the right.
Did you do that on purpose? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We did. We actually tried to find a phone number that was easy to remember. So if I've done that right, everybody on this radio program now should be able to remember that name.
I've got it memorized. You did it. You did it, Richard. 477-6999.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah. And so that it's pretty easy to remember. So if tomorrow you actually remember that phone number, then give me a call. Let me know that worked.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll do it.
And then the other part, of course, is that the company name is Pathway with a P, as a, you're walking down a path, hospice and palliative care. And we're the only company in southern Utah that provides an expansive palliative care program that does more than just hospice alone. It provides a better level of comfort and has been proven to provide more days and better days.
I have no comment.
That might be a first, Kaylee.
All right. So then I want to take a few minutes and talk about choice, because I think that's one of the things that we really want to get across. Hospice is about choice. And we want to make sure that people have as much choice as possible. We want everyone to understand that palliative care is in addition to all of the available treatments and protocols that hospice normally provides, not instead of. So, it's hard to have a real choice when you only have one option. And so we want to make sure that everybody that we work with has all the options available and all the information so they can make an informed decision about how they want to proceed.
Is this a good place to say that Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is fully accredited by Medicare and Accreditation Commission on Healthcare, which means we go above and beyond the standards? We have to actually prove ourselves as doing exceeding Medicare's minimum standards for that accreditation. Not all companies in Southern Utah are accredited, so that's something we're proud of.
Yeah, it is. And we want to make sure that we are providing that extensive level of care. So going back to that, the choice thing, options is really what we're looking at. And if we were dealing with pain or stress or anxiety, there may be four options that are available through us. The first one, of course, is there's a drug or a group of drugs that you could take that may address that that pain or stress or anxiety. But there may be other non-pharmacological treatments that can do that. And being able to maybe just communicate. It's amazing how that may help somebody deal with that. And then there may be some mental exercises. So
we are social creatures, and that was one of the things that I was talking to some people in the studio this morning. I can't wait for us to go back to the normal, where we can shake hands again and, you know, embrace if you want to and feel like we're a normal society again. Communication is really important. That companionship in the elderly is more important than I think some people realize. We need that social interaction.
Being able to be close to that person and talk to them, not standing far away and trying to be distant, but to be able to share with them.
But we can do that in safe ways.
Right. So, you know, we've given some examples on the air in the past, so I'm just going to reference those. Certainly, if somebody's experiencing pain or anxiety, the normal protocol for most hospices is provide a drug. and that drug will numb the mind and probably put the patient to sleep, and they've addressed the symptom. There's no question. They're not dealing with that stress at that point, at least for a while. But when they regain consciousness, they may still have that same stress. So we want to offer something more. Not that a drug isn't an option, and it could be completely appropriate under the circumstances. But if you don't have a choice, if you don't, as the caregiver or as the patient, know that you have other options and you only use that, you may not get the best benefit.
So that's something that I really want to stress. Pathways Palliative Program very much involves the patient and the caregiver. We want to know what the goals are for the caregiver and the patient. If pain management is necessary, it is absolutely within our power and desire to provide that e-kit. Mm-hmm. That e-kit will always be available. That's an emergency kit that has all the pharmaceuticals required to manage pain. We can, of course, as directed by a physician, order anything that is necessary to manage that pain. But when pain is not the underlying cause of stress, then we just want to address those issues as well. And sometimes it's the patient that tells us, but often it's the caregiver's stress that needs to be addressed. Are they feeling overwhelmed with the day-to-day needs and requirements that still have to be taken care of while caring for a loved one that has been diagnosed with a non-curative illness?
That's absolutely right. So we want to be much more broad in our vision of how to deal with these circumstances. But if we only have a drug, if the e-kit, and that's provided so that it's emergency immediately available to you, if that's the best option, then that's available. But if stress or anxiety is an issue or even pain, and a massage of some kind, a very comforting massage would address those things, then we've accomplished the task of relieving that stress or anxiety, but we've done it and the patient is still awake and able to enjoy their day. And
right, so completely lucid with loved ones. It could be companionship. It could be homemaking services, mm-hmm. or helping to make sure that meals are in place. It can be a multitude, a combination of therapies that are necessary. It really is about discussing with the patient and the caregiver what their needs are, what their stresses are, so that we can get on top of those and help them work through this so that they can enjoy their patient for as long as the time remains. The best quality of life over quantity of life.
Right. And so that's option three. It could be just communication. If there's a stress, an underlying concern that the patient has, and we can talk through that and we can come to some resolution, then the patient no longer deals with that stress ever. It's been resolved. So that's a great option. And the last one is mental exercises, because if somebody just has an issue that they keep going back to and it starts to cause them anxiety and there isn't really a resolution, and my father went through that. He just, in his mind, always wanted to be solving problems, and at some point in his decline, he wasn't able to get to the end solution in some of the thoughts, and that just caused him all kinds of stress. So if we can come up with some mental exercise, as a caregiver, if you see your loved one going down that mental path, if you can distract them, if you can just engage them in conversation that will lead them to a different thought, then we've addressed it. And we've done it again in a way that provides a closeness, provides an opportunity to share and to show love. And we've kept that person from just being medicated until the end. But again, medication may be the appropriate answer.
Right. But what we have found is so often it is a combination. Perhaps just the smallest amount of medication overcomes the anxiety and the pain. And then it's moving on to how can we help? How can we help you check things off of your budget bucket list and enjoy the life that you have? Live as fully as you can for as long as you have remaining.
So Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care really wants to provide the best solutions for you as an individual.
It sounds like Kaylee was saying it's really about a combination of things. We talk about you say choices. Well, choice is usually either or. This isn't an either or situation, is it?
No. As we bring a broader range of services, we can integrate those in a way that is much more effective than any one on their own.
And it is always individualized, isn't it? Everybody's different. Their right. needs are different. Their anxieties are different. It's about finding what issues that you are dealing with on a daily basis that are bringing you anxieties, and we try to overcome those. Hospice is not supposed to be about hastening death. It's not supposed to be about just managing until your loved one passes. It's about bringing a beautiful experience, memories that will last those remaining the rest of their life, about a good experience as their loved ones dealt with a difficult terminal illness.
Exactly. In fact, Andy, your question's a really good one. Let's say that somebody is having an anxiety attack of some kind, then maybe the best protocol at that moment is to provide a medication that will eliminate that for them, to allow their mind to reset, to start fresh. But if we don't then address the underlying issue that was causing that anxiety, it's probably going to come up again. And then we are just in the cycle of medication, 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 instead of once we get them medicated and that immediate anxiety resolved, then we can go in and find out what those underlying issues are. And as we are approaching the end of our life, there are a lot of issues that we may never have thought of that have to be addressed.
You know, what we've noticed is how common looping really is. Until the issues are resolved, the anxiety just continues to increase. Mm-hmm. Until you can get to the underlying cause of the anxiety levels just get bigger. And often the caregivers are left with, confused, and how can I help? And the constant need and stresses of their loved one. And that's why often pain medication is what's offered, because they're not able to get to the underlying issue. We really believe that let's get to the underlying issue. Let's talk about it. Let's explore what options are available and resolve issues that can be resolved without medication. Let's resolve those without medication,
if that's the most appropriate. And again, the upsides of using a non-medical or non-pharmacological solution is that we don't impair other parts of our life. We don't become despondent and, just staying in bed, going from medication to medication to medication. Yeah. We're able to, still enjoy time with family and build memories. And those are the things we really want to offer to people who are in that need.
And that's so important. One of my fondest memories prior to my mother passing, we've talked about this on the radio before, the reason we started this hospice was because we had a good hospice experience with my mother and a very sad hospice experience with my father. My mother was in another state, and unfortunately my dad's experience was here, and all of his hospice days, which happened to only be three, was managed with pain, and he wasn't in any pain. We just weren't consulted on how our desires of his hospice experience, what our goals were. But with my mother, we had time to have family come in all the way from England. We had family come in from different parts of town in Utah and from all over, then spent time with her. And one of my fondest memories is my brother, who had not been around our family a lot. He lived farther away and had time and life and busy circumstances with kids had just kind of, you know, it had been a little while since he had been to visit. And when we called him and told him about my mom's diagnosis, he was able to come in and spend a lot of time with her. And I just remember him sitting on the bed with her in his lap with his arms embracing her. And it was just beautiful. I thought, now see, I'm so glad that he had that opportunity to be with her and that she could experience him being there hugging her and holding her. So it was time that we really appreciated, and she was completely awake through it. She was not medicated.
And we were able to start hospice early enough and come to that realization that there was going to be an end, you know, and that time was coming, so that we could do some preparation, so that we could engage other people instead of at the last minute being blindsided by the last level of decline where there isn't anything that can be done and there's no time to accomplish great things.
Well, interestingly enough, my mother, when they found her late stage cancer, they said that every day that she remains is a gift. It had already metastasized to her brain and her liver, and it was running throughout her body and her lymph nodes, and they said that they were surprised that she was still with us. So every day was a gift. They said that it could be any time. And she actually lived 5.5 months with an excellent palliative care program. My father, on the other hand, they told us that they thought that he might be going on just a little bit soon, that he probably had more than 6 months, and then he ended up passing within 3 days because of the excessive drugs that he was given, administered. And we were, you know, shocked by his and I passing, and I still live with that regret every day, and it's hard for me to deal with. And that's why we're here. We're trying to bring a better experience so that we have better memories and longer lasting memories, good memories of our loved ones.
Right. We want to change the image of hospice in Southern Utah, because it's important that people have those better experiences. And so we're going to, as we, you know, continue these radio broadcasts and trying to inform the community, we are probably going to get some specifics in there, and it may seem a little uncomfortable. So if you haven't been deeply involved with a patient that qualifies for hospice, some of the things we talk about may seem uncomfortable or a little too personal or unusual. Don't be concerned about that. Just be aware that these may be circumstances that you will experience later, and if you know about them, you'll be better prepared to deal with them.
Right. To know that those resources are available and for free, what a stress-relieving benefit, really, to have the understanding that help is out there, that there is a wonderful program that you don't have to be wealthy to afford, because the services are free, and we will come to your home with the medical necessities, pharmaceuticals, medical equipment, the nursing, the CNAs, whatever it is that your needs require, we're there in your home, and again, for free.
Yeah, that's an important thing to consider. We really want people to know that these are just available resources, and it's at no cost. In fact, it costs less than the free medical care that most people are getting now, because there are no deductibles and copays, and prescriptions are covered, and all those other things.
And once you're eligible, it's a better benefit than home health, because home health, as we all know, everything has to be pre-authorized, or you have 3 sessions of physical therapy, whatever it is. So hospice is different. It's about your needs, and it's about all of your needs, covering all of your needs at no cost, at no pre-approval.
Right. So last week we discussed how you can help those that in your that you know may need some help.
You can recognize,
right,
that your neighbors or family, friends, acquaintances may need help, and that you have the knowledge that there are resources available makes you the hero.
It does. So, you know, for your neighborhood or your congregation, your ward or stake or your HOA, you know, if you just look within those groups and start to recognize some of the things that may be indicative that somebody could use some extra help, and that's just aging. As people age, they aren't able to accomplish all the things that they used to. So it's important that we do reach out, because I'm going to step out of a limb here. And while there's, you know, 235,000 people in southern Utah. I'm going to guess that not all of them are listening to this radio program right now.
Oh, come on, Richard.
No, I mean, a lot are listening, but not everybody. And so for those that are listening, yes, they know a little bit more, and they are better prepared to do that. But for everybody else that's not listening to this, how are they going to find out about hospice and palliative care and what it can do for them, you know, how it can help them?
I think we need to tell them, right? I mean,
well, somebody does.
Word of mouth. Let's get it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Somebody does. Somebody needs to tell them. Now, we're doing what we can. Again, we're doing some advertising and doing these public service announcements. But there's a huge portion of people that aren't. And so what we're really looking at for you and your community to just come up with a way to engage the people that you know. And there are so many ways to do it. If we're just waiting for the doctors to tell people about hospice, which is what everybody's been doing since, you know, the beginning of time.
You may not find out until it's too late.
Most won't. You know, according to the statistics, 78% of the people that are eligible and could use hospice won't get that benefit because the doctor doesn't tell them soon enough or doesn't tell them at all. I completely understand. It's not a conversation that the doctor wants to have for a number of reasons.
Well, and I'll be the bad guy and say it. Sometimes it is a financial decision as well. I mean, hospitals and doctors' offices are businesses too. So you have to be your best medical advocate and ask sooner than you think you need it so that you can take advantage of all the benefits that are available as soon as they are available to you.
And let me jump in here, guys. Let's give your phone number one more time. We got about 2 minutes left. Let's get your phone number, and then we can continue.
Okay, so the phone number, imagine that dial pad, area code 435, and then it's 477-6999.
Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, Pathway with a P.
Just like you're walking down a path. Okay.
Yeah, two minutes now. We'll
all right.
Finish up here.
So when we're talking to somebody about hospice, it's not that you're trying to assess their medical needs and determine whether they need it or not. All we're doing is informing them so that we can see if that's available. If you just talk to somebody about a radio program that you listen to on Wednesday mornings at 8:30.
And when you say talking to somebody, if you notice that somebody is struggling and needs help, if they feel overwhelmed or anxious or stressful, maybe those are the time that you say, you know, I was just listening to this radio program and there are free resources available. You might want to call them. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999. Just inform them that there are free resources available. And even if they're not eligible yet, it's an opportunity for them to learn about what is out there.
Because when you do that, you're not intruding in their life. You're just sharing.
And offering help.
Yeah, and that's caring. Showing you care about somebody. So
sharing is caring.
That's right. So if you take a few moments and talk to your neighbor about this radio program, or if you just call us and give us some information about that person so that we can reach out to them, so that we can bring in the professionals to assess whether they are in need, and if they are, whether it's a need for hospice or a need for some other service that's available throughout the community, whether that's the Alzheimer's Association, we've got good contacts there, some of the other resources that the community is providing. Just let's see if we can get somebody to help those people accomplish a much better life.
It's also, we've also had the experience that people need financial assistance, and we have those resources available for you also.
All right. So if you give them our phone number, and do you remember what it is? I hope you do.
477-6999. I got it.
All right. Very good. and if you can do anything to help those other people, then you're helping your neighbors and helping change the image of hospice.
Thanks, you guys. Great show today.
Thank you.